God made us on purpose. We're part of a plan. He knows us and calls us by name.
I'll stand and we'll turn to number 31, To God Be the Glory. Be the glory, great things. 31. Is this on? This is not on. Testing. Let's all stand. We'll turn to number 31. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Number 3. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we have come here this morning to give you the honor and the glory. Lord, that song is very fitting, Lord, because all glory belongs to you. Our Heavenly Father, this morning our hearts are full. Lord, this is a special day for us, Lord, because we look back and see, Lord, how faithful you have been to our church, Lord, for the past 50 years and even beyond. Heavenly Father, we do recognize that before you, Lord, many souls have been touched, Lord, through the ministry of this Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. And so, Heavenly Father, it is with gratitude, Lord, it is with thanksgiving, it is with remembrance, Lord, of how good you have been to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, we would like to think of the missionaries that we have been a part of. Lord, the ministry is here in Chula Vista, and even, Lord, beyond Chula Vista and even beyond the United States. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just would like to say thank you so much for your help, your provision, your strengthening, your guidance, your correction, your teaching, Lord, to everyone whose life has been touched by the ministry of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. We thank you, Lord, for the past pastors who have served, Lord, in this ministry, and for their lives, their dedication, the sacrifice that their families also gave. And Heavenly Father, as we look to tomorrow, into next week, next month, Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray again for your help. We look forward again, Lord, into the next 50 years, where the Lord our God will help and guide and direct the ministry of our church. We give you all the praise and all the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me acknowledge our first-time visitors that are here visiting with us for the first time. Let me start in this aisle right here. Is there anyone visiting for the first time? If you are a church member, can you introduce your visitor, please? Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. In the back, Joel. Amen. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. Next row. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. Anyone else visiting for the first time on this side of the aisles? Okay, let's go. Moving on to this side. Anyone visiting for the first time? Brother Louis? Welcome to our Baptist Church. Any other first-time visitors? Sister Fran?
This is my son-in-law,
Sean,
and my daughter, Chris.
Welcome. Glad to see you in church today. Anybody else visiting for the first time in the back? Yes, sir.
Roman Mendoza, my wife, Mary.
Welcome to our Baptist Church. Anyone else? First-time visitors? I want to make sure I recognize everybody. I want to thank you for being here to celebrate the 50th year. Oh, there's one more right here. Sister. Welcome, Nai. Welcome, Pong. Welcome to Chula Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Well, it is an exciting time. Yes, sir. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. Thanks for being here today. I want to thank you for being here today. This is a big day for us. You know, 50 years of celebrating God's goodness for our church today. This church has gone through four different pastors. Amen. And God has been good to us. I thank you for being here. At this point, I'd like for us to shake hands with everybody and welcome everyone, okay? Church members, if you want to be a part of the choir, please come up towards the end. Thank you.
the men's and women's choir, the teens choir, come on forward?
Please stand for the scripture reading, please. I'll be reading from Leviticus 25, King James Version. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy fields, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy fields, nor prune thy vineyards. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourn with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, and shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall be that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow, neither reap, that which groweth of itself in it, nor shall gather the grapes in thy vineyard, for it is the jubilee, it shall be the holy unto you, you shall eat the increase thereof of the fields. I read Leviticus 25, praise be the name of the Lord, you may be seated.
True vista, busy, bustling life, beautiful weather, thriving businesses, and most people consider themselves happy with their lives. Many believe they are living the American dream and have all they need. But the vast majority of people lack the most valuable need one could ever have: Jesus. Behind every smile, every possession, and every success is the emptiness only God can fill. People need the Lord, and God knows how to bring His message to mankind. It is done through the marvelous power of God, through a local church, guided by God's goodness, one step at a time.
Church. Our church that we were in with the Southwestern Christian Assembly had dissolved. Our pastor had retired, and the church was sold, and we started looking for one. And it was Sister Chris Dick, Mom Perna, Connie Perna, and myself. And we started looking, and we went all over Chula Vista, and Susie had said that there was a preacher that wrote music, wrote his songs, his own songs, and sang them. And she had heard them, and it was at the Castle Park Baptist Church. And so he came here because he had moved over here and taken over the pastorship. So we came, and Mom Perna fell in love with Pastor Wetzel. And he had a really good message, and she liked it. And we went to two other churches after that, but we always kept coming back here.
The very first day, Sunday morning, that I walked in the church, I just felt at peace. It was just like, wow, this is where I need to be. It's just a feeling of peace, of just... This is a Bible preaching church, and I had been out of the church for so long, but I just knew this was the place for me.
Something Pastor Wetzel would do, he would have the young children at church service before church started come up and do memory verses. And my daughter did that. It was really cute.
I'd probably say the most memorable are the messages. No one thing just stands out. I would honestly have to say it's always the strength of the sermon that always, for me, has always been memorable.
It was when I first brought Daniel to the church. I think he was just 2 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And how everyone was so loving and caring, and they brought him gifts. And then especially Pastor Wetzel's wife, Rita, couldn't get enough of Daniel, and then they dedicated him. I think the next Sunday, but it was really special because it seemed like they really cared about Daniel's, just him being in.
My memory is of the changing of the guard when Pastor Wetzel went out and Pastor Blair's came in. I talked to Pastor before, but I said Pastor got like 3 Sundays to prove to me it was spirits with him. And I was like, and I had my mind intent on leaving and looking for another place because I didn't know Pastor Polaris, and I heard him preach one time. It was over. I was like, he looks into his word. He's not just making this stuff up. So that's a memory I have.
I've been here in this pulpit for, I think, 44 years, something like that. It feels kind of familiar, like an old shoe. But I am so happy today to be able to be here and have a part in the ordination of my successor.
Amen.
And on whom the Spirit of God will dwell.
Amen.
And my prayers will be with you to support him during his ministry here, and may God give him a good 44 years.
Amen.
Describe how God has been good to the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. And that's bringing us Pastor Valeros and his family. And now all of the church family that we have here is absolutely wonderful. Loving, they care about each other, they care about missions, and they just want to go on with the Lord.
I think the blessing that is given this church, especially now since we've had so many new members coming in the last 2 years, he's just blessed us with another pastor that loves the Lord and teaches from the Bible. The church has grown, we have children, it's alive where it was, it was just basically dying. And he's just blessed us with a revival in our church.
God blessed us with new families, children, and a new pastor. And now we're growing, and we've been blessed so much with our new pastor and our new friends.
Thank you.
you for joining us as we look back at how God has been faithful to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. It is of His strength we have been able to continue. Keep us in your prayers as we look forward into what He will do through us. God has been good and will continue to be.
So I'll stand for the offertory number 43. Praise Him, praise Him. Dark.
Good morning, everyone. You know, God did many wonderful things for his children of Israel in the wilderness as he was bringing them through the promised land. What he done for them, he can also do for you.
Visit to us. Anybody else that came in late that's visiting for the first time? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Can you introduce yourself, please? And your sir.
I'm Greg Stewart. My wife Sandra Stewart.
Welcome, welcome to Children of the Baptist Church. Also on the on our left side right here, I want you to meet a very distinguished guest for me, Mr. and Mrs. George Valaris. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Boy, this is nerve-wracking for me. Amen?
Amen.
50 years. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, please share it with someone. If you do have a Bible, please stand right next to someone who does not have a Bible so they can share it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would stand to honor the word of God, we're looking at just three verses this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 16, once you're there say amen, all the way to verse 18, and then I'll ask my older brother to pray for this message this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 16 that the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of his parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Manager, can you ask God to pray for this message? Thank you. You may be seated. For those joining us for the first time, Chula Vista Valley Baptist Church has been here for 50 years. The year was 1968 when this church was first organized. Now, our church has taken a journey through the first book of Samuel. For those that are visiting with us for the first time, let me help you catch up. At this time, we are barely scratching the cover page, the introduction of the life of King David. And the truth is, when you're looking at the Bible, there's no other biography that is more prominent than the story of this man who was called a man after God's own heart. If you look at the Bible, Abraham's life is covered in 14 chapters. Jacob's life is covered in 11 chapters. But David's biography takes a span of 62 chapters in narrative. And that's not even including the majority of the book of Psalms. Now, in the previous verses, we have seen his anointing in chapter 16 and the beginning of his trials we're looking at in this chapter in his early life in the person of a giant by the name of Goliath. This is a very familiar text for most people, the battle between David and Goliath. We come down to verse 16 and we find that this Philistine by the name of Goliath drew near, the Bible says in verse 16, morning and evening, and presented himself for 40 days. Now Goliath taunted the Israelites night and day. To imagine that, I want you to imagine a bully who won't leave you alone. Someone who is constantly challenging you to a fight, maybe even calling you names, you know, as you were growing up. When I was a young man, you know, I never put up with bullies. Well, once in my third grade, there was a fourth grader who kept on calling me names because I was I was so skinny and he was a much bigger kid. You know, day after day in school, he would not leave me alone. So one day, I decided to fight back. You know, make the long story short, I found myself in the school principal's office, guarded by a school security guard while they waited for my mom to pick me up. The one good thing is that bully never bullied me again because I stood up to him. Now, the characteristic of the Christian life is that of what may seem to be a never-ending trial and difficulty. Now, the Apostle Paul, after God's calling on his way through Damascus, lived the rest of his life full of trials and difficulties. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, for those of you who are familiar with the life of this great apostle, he says in this 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians that three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned, Thrice he suffered shipwreck, and the Bible says that night and day he had been in the deep. I'll tell you the characteristic of the Christian life if you decide, and when you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, will be that of a never-ending trial and difficulty. And so this Goliath, this Philistine, drew near, the Bible says, morning and evening, nonstop, taunting and challenging the nation of Israel. Now, there's a reason why there's a constant need for every Christian to be watchful, to be sober, and to be on the lookout. Matthew 25:13, the Bible says, "To watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." Luke 21:36, he says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." You know, being watchful is so important in the Old Testament, that in the Old Testament, the city would place a watchman. What a watchman was they would set this person up on a tower to be on the lookout for anyone that comes into the city. In Ezekiel 3:17, the Bible says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me." Now, I'm not saying that as a Christian you have to live a paranoid life, but the truth is you have to be sober and be aware.
That's right.
Amen? You have to be sober and aware. For our church to celebrate 50 years, it is a blessing. It is a reminder of God's faithfulness to this church. And the truth is, it is a reminder to every family that is represented here today of God's goodness to us. Amen? I want you to imagine this. In the last 50 years, many Baptist churches have closed down. And the ones that remained were forced to either compromise the scripture and doctrines in order to attract people, or come up with all kinds of gimmicks and church programs just to stay afloat. And sadly, in doing so, they have subtly apostatized. You know, we are in 2018. This church was established in 1968. But in 2018, can I remind you, we are living in a time when, well, for a perfect example, same-sex marriage is not only legal, but accepted as the norm in the society.
Yeah.
And even in some churches today. In this year of 2018, it is when the safe havens, the church, and the schools have become crime scenes and burial grounds. And yes, it is 2018. And yet Bible Baptist Church of Chula Vista still stands for the old-fashioned values. Amen?
Amen.
The old-fashioned hymnals, the old-fashioned King James, and the old-fashioned preaching. And yes, that old-time religion. It is worth celebrating. Not many relationships last 50 years. Amen? Not many establishments last 50 years, and not many churches last 50 years, but God has proven himself faithful to Chula Vista Baptist Church. You saw the pictures. Amen? Let's get back to our text. The Bible says the taunting of Goliath was for 40 days. Goliath kept on challenging the nation of Israel to find a man, and bring him to me, and let him fight me. Now I want you to notice something. The Old Testament always points to the New Testament. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, that these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Here's the significance of that day, of those, the number of days, of 40 days. In Genesis, if I can remind you, in Genesis, the earth was under water for 40 days. When the flood during the days of Noah came, it stayed here for 40 days. You look at the life of Joseph. Joseph mourned for his father in Egypt. You want to know for how long? For 40 days. When Moses was up in the mountain, unable to eat and drink, and waiting for the tablet of the Ten Commandments, you know how long he stood? He stayed up there? 40 days. When Israel was in the wilderness searching for the promised land, you know how long they stayed? And they wandered around? 40 days. Ezekiel had prophesied a time for the house of Judah of 40 days. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6 with me. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. I want you to see something here before we get to our message. Let me establish a little foundation with you. If you're joining with us for the first time, we turn from verse to verse. Amen. In the church, there is one authority, and that authority is not a man. That authority is the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. I want you to see something. Here's what the Bible says according to the prophet Ezekiel. In speaking about the nation of Israel, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6, "When thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah." You know what he says? "For 40 days, I have appointed thee each day for a year." Now this prophecy was fulfilled in the closing of the Old Testament. How many of you know that when the Old Testament closed in the book of Malachi, it ended with a curse? It ended with a curse. The book of Malachi, the entire Old Testament, ended with a curse. You take a look at your Bible in the book of Malachi chapter 4. The last word in your Bible in the Old Testament is that word curse. And that became fulfilled in 430 B.C., What followed in between the Old Testament and the New Testament is what came to be known as the 400 years of silence. Now, for 400 years, God refused to speak and deal with His chosen people. During this period, the Jews adopted a Greek and Egyptian culture and language, translated what they used to believe as Holy Scriptures into a hybrid a form of pagan and Jewish theology, and embodied it into what is known today as the Apocrypha. Imagine that. Now, come to the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. If that is not enough, if the significance of 40 days is not enough, if you're not yet convinced, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. At the opening of the New Testament, you know for how long Jesus Christ was tempted when he was in the wilderness? 40 days. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before he began his ministry, he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Here's my point. My first point is this, that 40 signified trials, testing, and difficulties. There's a reason why they say that life begins at 40. Amen? How many of you are about around 40? I barely turned 39. But when I was growing up, I used to hear people say, "Oh, life begins at 40. Life begins at 40. I never understood what they meant by that. But when I look at my Bible, I realize that the reason why they keep saying that life begins at 40 is because 40, according to the Bible, signified trials and testings and difficulties. That when you reach that age 40, that means your trials are just about to end. Amen? Most people, you know, they become established in their life when they reach the age of 40. Amen? So if you're going through trials today because you are in your 20s and in your 30s, look forward. It gets better. Amen? And if you are past 40, I tell you, if you are past 40, you are rejoicing. Amen? All you got to do is look back to what God has done for you. Amen? But I want you to think about this for a second. How long is 40 years? And how long is, imagine, how long is 40 years of suffering? I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. I'm not on my message yet. I want you to hang in there, amen? This is not the messages. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm a little bit nervous today because my parents are here. Amen? My dad is here, so I'm nervous today. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Let me encourage you this morning, Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Here's what the Bible says. I want you to pay attention to this, Christian. Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our," what does that say? "Outward man perish, yet the inward man is" what? "Renewed day by day." You know what that means? What that means is you can be old on the outside, but be young on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. You can be old on the outside. You can look old on the outside, but you can be young at heart. But here's what Paul says. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "For our," what does he say? "Light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now I want you to consider this for a second. I want you to consider what the Apostle Paul has gone through. How could he say light affliction, and how could he say but for a moment? Imagine that. How could you say that 40 years is just but for a moment? How many of you are in your 40s? Okay, nobody wants to admit now, right? When I was growing up, I used to think, my dad was 40. I used to think that he was an old man. Yeah, when I met my dad, he was in his 40s, and I thought he was an old man. I'm turning 40 myself in a few months. And all of a sudden, what seemed like forever is not so long anymore. But let me share with you the reason why the Apostle Paul was able to call his entire lifetime of suffering but for a moment. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Go back, or go all the way to the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Again, we're not in the message yet. Still getting warmed up. I want you to be familiar with flipping through the Bible. You got to know your Bible, amen? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Here's why the Apostle Paul was able to consider his lifetime of suffering but for a moment. Here's what Paul says, or Peter says, 2 Peter 3, 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as" what? "A thousand years. And a thousand years as one day." You see, when your perspective in life is in line with God's perspective, what may seem like forever in this lifetime is actually just a moment. Amen. You know, there will come a time when Jesus Christ will rule and reign on earth for a thousand years. It's called the millennial reign. And when that millennial reign is over, that is only the beginning of eternity. When you begin to think, "Oh, this life, I want this life to be over. This life is difficult." I tell you, this life is short when you consider eternity.
That's right.
Amen? Go to Revelation chapter 21 with me. Revelation chapter 21. I'm starting to get warmed up. Revelation chapter 21. I want to encourage you today, Christian. If you're going through times of difficulty and times of trial, and it seems like it's a never-ending trial, I want you to have change your perspective into God's perspective. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Amen. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Slide down to verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death.
Amen.
Neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Amen? And that's the beginning of eternity. We're barely scratching the surface of God's goodness. Amen? Let's go back to our text. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 17 now. So this Goliath bullied and just taunted David and the nation of Israel, the Bible says, morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Verse 17 now. And Jesse said unto his son David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of his parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Here's what's going on here. While the nation of Israel, under the rulership of King Saul, was facing the Philistines, some of the sons of Jesse were in the battle with him. And Jesse sends his son, David, to go into the battlefield to bring, according to verse 17, 10 loaves. And in verse 18, 10, cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And he tells him to look how they brethren fare and take their pledge. Now, I've looked into this, and there are several possible indications why Jesse had sent 10 loaves and 10 cheeses. I ask myself this question. You know, when I look at the Bible, I ask questions. What I mean by that is I don't mean I question the Word of God. You see, there are people today that when they approach the Word of God, instead of believing in the Word of God, they begin to question the Word of God. But that's not what I do. What I do is when I read the Bible, I ask myself, what does that mean to me as a Christian? Now, there are several possibilities, several reasons why Jesse had sent 10 loaves and 10 cheeses. One possibility is that there were 10 captains that he was trying to feed. The problem with that possibility is this. In verse 18, the Bible says that there was the captain of their thousand. That means there was only one captain. Another possibility is that he had 10 brethren or relatives in the camp. But I thought about that. That would be an overreaching argument, because verse 13 says that only 3 of his brothers were there. Just hang in there with me. So I am left with the only possible reason, the only possible explanation why Jesse sent 10 loaves and 10 cheeses is this. Those 10 loaves and 10 cheeses all went to one captain to be consumed in 10 days. Just exactly as verse 18 says. If that is the case, now listen, I want you to think about it. Goliath has been taunting the nation of Israel for 40 days, night and day. David hears about this taunting on the 40th day. And if you know the story, he goes back to Saul and convinces Saul to allow him to fight Goliath. Remember that? He goes back to King Saul and he begs King Saul, King Saul, there's this giant that keeps challenging you. I want you to send me. Remember? I remember what King Saul did. What King Saul did is he gets this armor and shield and his sword and gives it to David and lets David try it on. Remember? I mean, you know the story. You know how the story ends. David puts on this armor. He tries on this shield. And he carries this sword. And you know what he said? I cannot wear these. I cannot use these. Because these I have not tried. Remember? But that's beside the point. My point is this. By the time he gets back to face Goliath, it had been 10 days. I am convinced that that is the only reason why Jesse gave 10 breads and 10 cheeses to the captain of the Israelites. Those 10 cheeses and 10 breads were to last him a 10-day supply. Here's the significance of that. If 40 means difficulties, trials, and testings, you know what 50 means? You add 40 plus 10 days. By the 50th day, David defeated Goliath. Here's why it had to be on the 50th day. I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 25. The scripture that was read this morning is about this celebration, also known as the Jubilee. You see, I believe that every word of God is inspired. Not a single word in this book is without meaning. I'm convinced of that. Here's the reason why I believe that David defeated Goliath in the 50th day. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9. The significance of the 50th day, also known as the Jubilee, is this. Leviticus 25, 9 through 11. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, that adds up to 49 years. Verse 9 says, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Notice in verse 10. Are you there? Leviticus 25. I want you to look at your Bible, okay? Here's what the Bible says about this 50th year. This 50th year. He says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And he shall return every man unto his family. To make the long story short, in other words, the 50th year brings liberty. It brings forgiveness, secondly. And thirdly, it brings reconciliation. Now, there are three things that bind mankind. In John chapter 1, verse 13, here's the message for this morning. There are three things that bind mankind. In John chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Mankind is bound by his blood, by the flesh, and by his own will. First of all, mankind is in bondage by his blood. You see, if you've never trusted Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life, you are bound by your blood. What I mean is this. Go to Romans chapter 5. You are bound by the blood of sinful Adam. Romans chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see? You are in bondage to this blood. Every man and every woman, every person that's living today is in bondage of the blood of sinful Adam. And there's nothing you can do about it. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 5, he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So first and foremost, you are bonded by the blood of sinful Adam. Secondly, you are in bondage by the flesh. You are in bondage by the flesh. You are bound by your flesh. Even as a Christian, here's one thing that you'll experience. You will always have struggles with your flesh. Romans chapter 7, you know what Paul said? Paul, the greatest apostle, said, turn to Romans chapter 7. Second thing, you are in bondage with besides your blood is your flesh. Romans chapter 7 said, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Here's what he says. In verse 15 he says, "For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I." Let me translate for you. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You are in bondage with your flesh. You're trying to do something, but your flesh wants you to do something else. You're trying to obey God, and your flesh is telling you not to obey God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You want to go this way. You want to come to church on a Sunday, but your flesh says, "No, let's hang out at home. Let's have a barbecue. Let's do something different that feels good in here for this body." And the truth is, even Christians, you'll experience a constant struggle with your flesh. Galatians 5:22 says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things of God." And then thirdly, so first you are in bondage by the blood of sinful Adam. Secondly, you are in bondage, by your flesh. But thirdly, you are in bondage by your own will. You're in bondage by your own will. You see, every man is bound by self-will. The first creature to fell because of his own self-will. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, you can turn there if you want. But did you know what the first creature said to himself right before and caused him to fall? Lucifer, his name was. In Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 13 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart," you know what Satan said? You know what caused his failure? He said, "I will ascend unto heaven." He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." He said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You are in bondage by your own self-will. So mankind is in bondage by his blood, by his flesh, and by his own will. But today is the 50th year. The significance of the 50th year is this: that though mankind may be in bondage by his blood, by his flesh, and by his own will, God has given us the liberty through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the entire celebration of the Jubilee that was practiced by the Israelites was pointing to that one person who will proclaim liberty to the captives. Isaiah 61, 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim," what does that say? "Liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." You know, that same verse is fulfilled in Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Jesus Christ, when he was reading the book of Isaiah, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You see, the entire meaning of the Jubilee, the entire meaning of the reason why we have to celebrate 50 years is that because it points to the one who is the only person who is able to give you liberty. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, being a Christian means being free from the curse of the blood of Adam. Being a Christian means having the power to be free from the power of our flesh. And being a Christian means having a will that is surrendered to God's will. Amen. Secondly, Not only does the 50th brings liberty, the 50th brings forgiveness. When they celebrated the Jubilee, you know what they did? On the 50th year, every person who owed someone something was forgiven. That's what they did. I want you to imagine that in our modern society today. I want you to imagine someone owing you money and you driving to the house of that person and saying, "Brother, whatever you owe me, I forgive." Let's take it even further. I want you to imagine driving to the home of that person who has offended you and saying to that person, "I forgive you." Amen? 50th brings forgiveness. But here's my point, and here's how I'm going to close. Every person, man or woman, is a prodigal child of our Heavenly Father. You see, in your heart, whether you accept it or deny it, you've always known that you have a Father in heaven. And you've always just wondered what He looks like and who He is. And the truth is, He has made His existence known. Amen. Through letters, the Holy Bible. Amen. And the truth is, He has always made His presence known through His goodness in your life. And the truth is, you've heard stories about Him from your family members and relatives. But my question to you today is, have you seen Him face to face? Have you reconciled with your Maker? If you are not saved today, you are a prodigal son. Your Father is waiting for you to be reconciled back to Him. You know, I don't believe there is a true atheist. In the heart of every human being is implanted that conscience, and that conscience tells you that there is a God. And that God is your Creator, and that God loves you. That He sent His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ became a man so that you may know your Father in heaven. And by simply trusting in Him, by simply calling upon His name, you may see Him face to face. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Would you let Him come in? Would you meet your Father today? Will you be reconciled with your Father today? That's what the 50th year means. 50th year means liberty. 50th year means forgiveness. But most importantly, 50th year means reconciliation. Every head bow, every eye closed. The piano will play. The altar will be open. If you are not saved today, that means you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. My prayer for you is this. My prayer is that you will set your spirit free. My prayer is that you will trust Him to save you. Ask Him to come into your heart and ask Him to come into your life, and I guarantee you, you will never feel any freer than before. In Him there is liberty. In him there is freedom, and in him there is forgiveness. And in him there is reconciliation. Would you receive him today? Every head bow, every eye close. The altar is open. Maybe you've been away from the church for so long. Maybe you've been away from God for so long. How about you come today? How about you come this morning and say, God, thank you for not forsaking me. Thank you for not giving up on me. And thank you for giving me a chance to be reconciled with you. Will that be your prayer this morning? And then finally, if there's someone here in this room that you have not reconciled with, someone who has offended you, someone who has hurt you in the past, my prayer this morning is that you will be reconciled with that person. Altar is open. God's people say,
amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Brother Roger, can you close your prayer, please, Brother Roger?
Thank you for standing, everyone. Thank you, our God in heaven, that you are in our presence today. We thank you, Lord, any time that two or more are gathered in your name, you are there also. We thank you so much for this. Scripture tells us this, that when we're together in Christ's love, and God's love, that we are together as a family. It's just so nice that we can look to him for guidance and directions. Thank you, Lord, that our service today and every day in your house was to glorify you and you only. If there were any decisions today for Jesus Christ as personal Savior, let this be the first day of your life. God will provide that. You will be a born-again Christian. You will love God because he first loved us. Thank you so much, God. For these past 50 years, your word, the only true word, your book, was preached from this pulpit. We ask that Jesus should tarry in his coming. We ask for your continuance. Thank you all for blessing us with your appearance today and your fellowship with us today. Thank you so much for this church that God has given us that preaches and teaches his word without compromise. I pray, Lord, for the after the food, our fellowship together in food and blessings for the food, Lord, that you provide for us. We thank you, Lord, for this food. We thank you for the people that have provided it. Thank you again for this church that loves you, and we love you so much. Thank you for being part of the family of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.